sometimes we just push it beyond what it was designed to do.
Okay. Jane?
I'd be in favor of including 1789. I think in Massachusetts has been involved in a STAR initiative, statewide action to reduce avoidable readmissions, for about 2 years now. I think also Michigan and Washington. And although, you know, this has brought together hospitals and home care and nursing homes and primary care on a grand scale, and there's been an enormous amount of learning, if it hasn't necessarily reduced readmissions at this point in time. And I think one of the things, I sit on that steering committee, and I think one of the things we've learned is that hospitals started out focusing on heart failure, but very quickly learned that the interventions were applicable across all populations, that the amount of work involved didn't make sense to make it population or condition specific, that really the things that are the interventions that count are the things like the follow-up, you know, shortly after discharge, the teach-back, the medication reconciliation. So I think in the interest of parsimony, we can make hospitals crazy by focusing on condition specific and really confuse consumers as well. But to that end, I think the NCQA measure also is useful because we can, as plans, report to physician groups their performance across multiple hospitals and to the hospitals. The other measure will show them where their own opportunities are. And I think between the two, we cover the continuum pretty well.
So you like 1768 and 1789 on page 10.
Correct.
Great. Thank you. Nancy?
So one of the critical issues around these hospital readmissions measures that has come up repeatedly in discussions with the NQF and quite frankly in the literature as well, is the implications of the for socioeconomically deprived communities. That Richard spoke to that a little while ago. There's growing evidence, I would say there's pretty good evidence, and it is growing, that those who serve socioeconomically impoverished communities are disadvantaged by these measures. If we had understood all of that prior to the implementation of the heart attack, heart failure, and pneumonia measures, that discussion might have been different. But the implication of expanding the availability of these measures, or the number of conditions measured by these measures that were developed by Yale without looking at and adjusting for those socioeconomic factors is, quite frankly, to really expand the amount of penalty incurred by hospitals that serve those lower socioeconomic communities. And that's the way the readmissions program works, folks. So including these without a fuller discussion of that, without addressing, as Anne-Marie suggested, that this need to really understand and account for these community factors is what will make hospitals crazy. It's not the multiplicity of the measures. It is the fact that that the socioeconomic factors are not yet accounted for. Secondly, and Helen, I'm glad to hear you say that you expect soon to get the richer exclusions and so forth for the heart attack, heart failure, and pneumonia measures. Because, in fact, the other condition-specific measures that have now undergone NQF endorsement actually have a much richer set of exclusions for the planned readmissions and the unrelated readmissions, and therefore are really better assessments of what was a preventable or potentially preventable admission readmission to the hospital. So there's a reason to leave it at the condition-specific level right now. There are several reasons to leave it at the condition-specific level right now, especially until all of this gets straightened out.
Helen, did the appeal address the socioeconomic?
Other than referencing a lot of the earlier discussions, it was primarily based on a question of process. Was there consensus? Was the major discussion? And again, I think this is a very clear area for debate. I think there is some literature suggesting that actually, particularly the issue of race, African Americans appear to have at times a higher rate of readmissions. And I guess the question is, at the end of the day, is that something that should be included in the measure so that you can't, in fact, be able to see that those disparities exist, or is that something that potentially is outside the measure itself? The payment program, whatever the case may be, I think is really where a lot of the issue came down, and at least what the committee was able to see in additional analyses provided by Yale suggested that, at least on the information we have to date, and again, it's somewhere crude in terms of disproportionate share hospitals, et cetera, if there were differences, they were small. But again, I think that's why we have math. That's why you all need to weigh the broader sort of context for those measures as it relates to the programs.
I don't, Dolores, you came in late, and we had talked about it earlier, but anybody who drops their card was buying the first round, so. We appreciate
you. You didn't have to do that. Thank you. You hear what I'm going to say. Other than that, I have the feeling of deja vu all over. We didn't have this whole discussion last time, and nobody debates or disputes, rather, the reality that there are socioeconomic factors that have an impact on how well or poorly a hospital might do. But I think about it this way. What's our goal? Our goal is to deal with the fact that we all agree that there are too many hospital readmissions, and that there are way too many hospital readmissions, and that it is very important to concentrate on doing something about reducing those numbers. Bad for the patients, bad for the economy, unnecessary, and so on. I understand the sensitivity of saying, well, a hospital might be unfairly or harshly disadvantaged if it has had the decency to take on tougher populations and to try to do something to help those folks. But I don't think our goal is to protect or to buffer a hospital when the real goal is so much more important. I think we should try very hard never to be egregiously unfair. But nothing focuses the mind about what to do about how to better deal with your population that is tough or with the surrounding community activities that help keep people out of being readmitted to the hospital than realizing that a measure is going to be a little tough on you. I did not think it was our goal to say what use any organization could make out of these measures. We need to be sensitive to that, but I think I said exactly the same thing last time. To say that we've got to solve poverty, war, and injustice along with trying to improve the hospital system, I think is hubris at worst and maybe naive at best. We're not going to do that. We don't have the capability of doing it. We've got enough on our plate as it is. But to kick out a measure that we know has the goal that we're all trying to seek, because its impact is uneven, seems to me to be letting the tail wag the dog. I've got so many metaphors in there, you'll forgive me. But having acknowledged that it's a reality, but I think I can tell you, nature hates a vacuum. And out there in the rest of the country, measures are being developed at the state and local levels. And we can come along a year later having solved poverty, war, and injustice and find that, the field's already been filled in with other organizations that are saying we can't wait. So I'll try not to drop my card again in my enthusiasm.
No, the rest of us would like it to. But I've got Mitchell, then John.
So I just follow up. I agree with what Dolores just said. I think that we just had a discussion about the fact that a coordination of care can reduce readmission rates. So it is possible that hospitals would get deemed unfairly in certain circumstances, but there's also a pathway for them to improve the readmission rate. So I don't think it's creating an unreasonable burden. And the same thing is true for many metrics. It's true for sepsis metrics. A lot of the debate about the metrics around antibiotics is that the unintended consequences are overuse of antibiotics, when in fact the data show that while there may be some overuse, it still improves outcomes in the long term and short term with sepsis. So I think there's no perfect metric out there, and this is an example of metrics in evolution. And I think that since there's a pathway for people to perform better by changing care, it's a reasonable metric to leave in place.
So you're in favor of the all-cause, not the condition-specific. Okay. John?
I think it starts with a question similar to what Dolores asked. For what goal? I guess my similar question would be, for what purpose are we talking about the use of the measure? In regard to public reporting, I always wish we would formally and informally talk to consumers more for what they want. And one thing that sticks out to me is a while ago CMS did what they call these listening sessions around the country. And when consumers were asked what measures they want for public reporting, kind of broad concepts, they found it valuable to have both measures at a condition level. For people who had certain conditions, they would like to align with facilities that do better with treating that particular condition. But for families who have no particular condition, but they still do need to align with facilities, then a cross-cutting and all-cause measure would be of value to them as well. That's what was expressed. And to me, it makes sense for public reporting purposes. Consumers would value both, thus report both. In terms of payment and putting on my purchaser cap, because I worked in value-based purchasing for quite a while, you want the largest N you can possibly get when talking to a hospital about pay for performance to get their attention and to induce more systems thinking than to cut across silo by silo of AMI heart failure. So for payment purposes, kind of one rule of thumb I've always thought makes sense is to have a larger denominator in this case as it would apply to readmissions, an all-cause cross-cutting measure.
So payment, you want the all-cause improvement, you want the various conditions.
And also with public reporting in all-cause as well. So if we're talking about both these purposes, then it would be nice to have the condition-specific for the most prevalent conditions and all-cause. I hate to advocate for both, but I'm just trying to reflect what
these
purposes that we're, I believe, talking about with the map.
Great perspective. Tom?
I think there's a distinction between measurements which are based upon evidence and the application of those measurements. And where I'm hearing a lot of the issues, and I certainly understand that having worked in a variety of indigent settings, is the fairness. Have we ever made recommendations on the application of measures such that it may be a hospital or health system or clinic is compared year over year to itself looking for improvement, as opposed to a tournament style where it's competing with those who are in better positions?
So Tom may want to weigh in on this, but it's been beyond our scope of work. We've been asked to put it in a payment program and a public reporting program. When it goes in a payment program, how they cut it and whether it's a penalty or an incentive has not been something we've talked about in specific.
Measurement Application Partnership make recommendations to the Secretary?
We do, but I'll let Tom get into those scope issues.
Yeah, and there could be a difference of opinion on this, but the MAP role in statute is to have input on the selection of measures, not on the structure of programs or the way that the incentives are structured. Having said that, I think it is a little bit hard. I mean, on all around the table, folks have argued that we need to understand how the measure is going to be used in order to give input on the selection. It might be a little bit of a distinction to understand how, it's used in current programs versus making recommendations about how programs should be restructured to accommodate the measures. Those may be two different things.
It's a very interesting point, though, and we mention it all the time. So in our comments, we can comment on that. There may be a danger zone here, an unintended consequence. Andrea?
I just wanted to make a couple of comments based on what John said, and those are really interesting perspectives, and given the consumer and purchaser perspective, I would agree. I can't quite tell where we're falling on 1768, so I wanted to make a comment on that based on the consumer and purchaser perspective. From a consumer point of view, I think that all plan or the plan level all cause is an important factor for consumers, particularly as we go into an exchange environment. So that's kind of just the new element I would bring to that part, as well as on the purchaser side. That same element, I think, is important as self-funded employers are contracting with health plans. More and more, they are looking at that figure in their negotiations with health plans. So,
great. Those are important. So where, in my mind, from what I've heard, 1768, 1789 are both for inclusion. I think there's been overwhelming support to include those. And then we've heard less support for inclusion of the condition-specific. There have been some arguments against it in terms of parsimony, and then some arguments for it in terms of consumer requests. So that's kind of where I'm hearing that we are right now. Randy?
Okay, I would concur that we would have a problem with condition specific on admissions. Again, the bulk of these are admissions for multiple causes, and that could legitimately be one of more than one potential cause. But even more than that is, even if it's someone with five conditions and the admission was for a different one of those five conditions, that still doesn't mean that it wasn't related to inadequate discharge, inadequate transitional care, or any of the factors we're identifying for readmission. So I think it's very important that we not be specific to a single cause. There may possibly be some causes for exclusion, but that wouldn't be one of them. But that being said, I think it's also true that we have to recognize that, you know, that this is a problem that's not necessarily a hospital problem or a hospital issue. In fact, the hospital may have only a minority of the factors under its control to have a real impact here. Our goal is to reduce the number of avoidable readmissions, and we have to, in doing so, recognize that the issues here go beyond the hospital.
So in endorsing the all-cause groups, there's a need for expansion of shared attribution.
Absolutely.
Okay. Emery?
Like to echo that I think that you need to think. I think this will only take you so far, separate from whether you feel that there should be special adjustments or not. I think this, as long as you keep it focused on the hospitals, it will only take you so far. I mean, that's what we heard today. So I think you do need to share the attribution. You need to get out there and get creative on something that really works with all these other factors that affect admissions, and I think there should be a recommendation for that. And I would just like to ask, though, one more time, that there be some consideration of the variability. Having worked with this is one of the main things I work with every day at my hospital, and I tell you, we've done much better, and I have no problem with that, and I think we probably wouldn't have if it hadn't been a measure. But I also know the myriad of complicated reasons why sometimes we're not successful, and I just think that you need to kind of include that in the way you think about this particular measure. I think there's a bit of a problem with the measure itself. That's what I'm getting at. And I think that we just need to keep looking at that and trying to refine it. It's kind of a club to deal with. It's like hitting the problem with a club instead of getting into the finer points of what might make the difference. And that's all I'm saying. So I would hope it would go with some recommendations, that there be some very serious look at what this measure looks like going forward, because I don't think it's going to get you past a certain point, because hospitals, in the best of all worlds, can only do so much for this issue.
So we've got more work to do today. So in the spirit of brevity, no more cards up. And for the cards that are up, let's keep it to something new that we haven't heard so that we are really starting to be mindful of the time that we have. Helen?
Okay. I will be brief. I'm just concerned about this if it is intended to reflect on premature discharge and discharge process. Thinking about the Pine Tree focus groups where most of the parents said the main reason for readmission was that they thought their children had been prematurely discharged. And also wondering what happens to those who are not readmitted. I'm wondering if this could be somehow linked to patient surveys, and also, you know, 30-day mortality would be, I would think, an important measure to have in connection with this to see, you know, what's happening to those who aren't coming back.
All right. Dolores?
I'll just be very brief. I'm stuck with the difference between going beyond our scope, which is a no-no, and identifying a gap, which is a yes-yes. Can we not stretch the English language such to solve this problem by simply referring to the fact that many people quite legitimately think that existing risk adjustment methodologies aren't quite as good as they need to be? Because it seems to me that would, if not solve the problem, at least mitigate it significantly.
I think that's within our scope. I think when we get out of scope is when we try to opine on the different payment programs. Like this one should be for a penalty, this one should be for a bonus. That's not our job. We're getting out of field there. Richard?
I guess I'd like to recommend that if we're going to accept this measure 1789, that we be very prescriptive in its use. I think if we want to use it to highlight disparities, it's fine. Not to include the socioeconomic status. If we're going to use it to apportion payment, I think we have to recognize the fact that hospitals find themselves in different environments, and we have to deal with that reality. Second point, which I don't think has been raised yet, is if we're going to accept this measure, we really ought to recommend we look for the unintended consequences. We need to look at mortality. We need to look at length of stay. We need to look at what happens to the observation days. And we need to look at what happens to ED visits. Because, you know, you will get what you incent. If you incent with a payment structure to keep patients out of a hospital, you'll keep them out. Now, what will happen to them? They may bounce back and forth into OBS beds and it's every 3 days. That's not a very patient-centered approach to care. We need to understand if that's happening. So I do think that we have an opportunity to really understand a little better what this intervention might do. And if we don't look for those unintended consequences, when the time does come to put this into a payment system, if it ever does, we're going to be behind.
Rhonda?
Sorry, I missed most of the conversation, so I hope I'm not repeating something. But I am in favor of the all-cause measure, but I am only in favor of it with it being coupled with other measures. We've already talked, I think Richard's already talked about some of the issues. You know, we've been implementing readmission rates for hospitals for over 15 years, and we've been doing performance-based contracting with them for at least the last 5 or 6 years, and found that in doing that, it was very important to not only combine it with other measures, and behavioral health is much simpler than medical. You know, very few codes, very few diagnoses. So what I'm saying is a very simplistic approach to this. We coupled the readmission with the average length of stay. We found that that diagnosis is real clear. If people try to reduce the readmission rate by keeping people in the hospital a lot longer was not necessarily solving the issue. So they needed to be efficient in both ways. Also looked at the post-discharge follow-up. We measure that on a regular basis. So we look at whether or not patients that come out of the hospitals are able to get appointments within 7 days. What's interesting with that, with those three combinations, we have very little squawking from the hospitals at this point. And, again, I think it has more to do with behavioral health being a little more simplistic, a lot more simplistic than the medical side. We have a difference in terms of not only the various conditions, but also the severity levels. So I would definitely really push for coupling of this measure with others that are greatly affected by the readmission, but also those that also show that it is several factors that have to do with the readmission itself and the quality of care.
Thank you. Mitchell?
Just a quick, Helen, point of clarification. The other disease-specific measures that are looked at by other work groups, are they the same as these? You said alluded to a little bit of a change.
Yeah, all of our steering committees have looked at all of these measures at this point. Stroke's still going through the process, as you know, COPD, and pneumonia is still going through the process as well. I think what I was alluding to earlier is we are expecting, have not gotten yet, but have gotten indication from CMS that they will be sending us the ones we've already endorsed, the planned readmission algorithm exclusions that we don't yet have.
Okay.
Just to be consistent with the hospital-wide readmission measure.
Mitchell, that was the last word. Oh,
can I hit
no,
yes?
I take that back, Mitchell.
Yes.
Lance, you have the last word.
Good. Just a couple notes on gaps again, regards to these readmission metrics. I think that we know that the CMS measures only focus on the Medicare fee-for-service patients. So I think the gap is that we need a metric that focuses on an all-payer data source. They're tested.
I think it
they're just
says
used.
That they're... It says they're down to 18.
Right. So just to be clear, the data that obviously Medicare has to use for the measure are 65 and up. They only have Medicare data. But the measure developers at Yale have tested the measure to show that the risk models are applicable to the younger population.
So that's good. So potentially you close that gap quicker than usual. The other one is... yeah. The other one is hopefully we can get this used on an all-patient data source, so that would pick up the pediatric population that we spoke about earlier also.
And the pediatric one is under development, as I understand it. And again, that the risk model was looked at to age 18 and up. I mean, I think that it's still here, but certainly there are probably some issues with 18 and below that would probably suggest the need for a different risk model. And we also know there's a nursing home readmission measure in development that, again, may also bring in other factors that might not be part of a hospital readmission measure.
So what I'm hearing from the group is general consensus for 1768 and 1789 for inclusion. And that's really what I've gotten from this. And of course, all the comments you made will be incorporated. I can't possibly go back and cover all of them, but to these points about the proper balancing measures and the pairing and composites, I think we'll put into this as a vital addition. All right? Rich, is your card up?
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I hope in the clarification here that there is an indication of need for further risk adjustment or clarification and communication of information about all causes that take into account, exclusivity in serving high-risk populations. I mean,
I think we got that.
We don't want to
rehash it, but you made
okay.
a great point.
Okay, I didn't hear it in the summary, and so I just wanted to revert.
For brevity,
fine.
I can't possibly recapture all of it.
Thank you.
But no, I think we got those notes, and they're very important. So we have left for today. Very quick.
Actually, in follow-up to the point that Helen just raised. So based on the data that I showed you about the so-called high resource utilizing pediatric patients, the cohort that is 18 plus are extremely complex, extremely high utilizers, tend not to find their way across the threshold into adult systems of care. So this is a perfect illustration of one size not fitting all. So the use of the measure, the application, especially in a pay-for-performance methodology, this would be an area where, in fact, there could be administrative barriers built in to keep patients from transitioning to adult systems of care. So that's not intended to be a parochial comment, but is an exact illustration as those technical specifications are developed to be very mindful that the goal here is actually to improve care and not to create barriers.
So we're moving on. We're going to move into the system infrastructure support measures, and we've got several commenters, several reactors to this group. It begins on page 11 of your discussion guide, and I think we have, is it four measures in this group? So I've got Lance leading off, then John, Sean, and Rich. So Lance, if you'd give us, I've got Barbara. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Barbara leading off, then Chesley, Sheck, and Kevin I haven't seen today. So Barbara, if you would start us off.
Sure, and I'll try really hard to be very, very brief. I think of this set of measures as sort of at a moment in time when we have an adequate infrastructure to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So what we're referring to here are measures that are referencing a structure that's going to get better, the technology is going to get better, and it's actually a really key point about these measures. I want to make two other generic points and then talk specifically about each. One is that on the HIT measures, it's fine, and I'm supporting 489. It's great to be able to have the compatibility to report lab results directly into the EHR, but it's absolutely essential to have somebody look at them, and that's not included in the measure. That's kind of a generic point. And secondly, on the PCMH measures, these are referencing a prior generation of NCQA PCMH standards, and I'm wondering why we're doing that. And then the last point on PCMH is that it's been our experience that a PCMH model is extraordinarily important for both children and people with chronic diseases, and I don't know why that second group is not included. So I like the measure, but I think, number one, it's outdated, and number two, it's not inclusive enough.
So, Barbara, you are in favor of 489, 494, 724, and what about 491?
And 491.
Okay, great. Thank you. Chesley?
Me too. but I would say the caveat I have, and I think Barbara hit it, is I'm not really happy with any of these. But because of the system changes that we know are coming, I think we're going to get there and we're going to have better measures down the road. But for now, I think it's really important to put a stake in the ground and say we are going to have measures around infrastructure with all the limitations that these potentially have with them. So that's the context in which I would say I would support inclusion.
All right. Check.
I agree with the previous two commenters. The one thing, I'm in support of the measures and as the other two commenters said, just in terms of the structural changes that are going to happen. I didn't realize that the PCMH, the qualifications, weren't updated, so that's, you know, recommend with caveat or with modification. And then the other thing was that Barbara had mentioned the monitoring component of that piece where you'd want to have the physician, or not the physician, the provider actually look at lab values. That might be taken care of in some of the care plan and communication care transitions sections later. So that's just the other kind of comment that I had.
So and Kevin's not here, and unfortunately it's Helen and Heidi are not here right now to give us an update on the NCQA measure. It's in measure maintenance. So they may come in the room while we're opening up discussion, but for now what I'm hearing is from our group of reactors, you are in favor of all four of these measures within the structure family, all of these topics to move forward for application.
Yeah, the main difference on the PCMH is the survey. Are there a number of questions about shared decision-making about medications that aren't included on the old survey?
Okay. So if Helen may be able to tell us if they're in maintenance, that could be included. But let me open this up for discussion. So, Richard?
I just want to propose a gap. I think that we need to look at the complex, chronically ill patients and whether or not they are in a medical home, because they are the patients that most benefit from a medical home, and they're the patients that utilize most of the resources. So while it's great that we look at whether or not my practice is doing all this, it's more important, I think, to say, if you're a complex and chronically ill patient, are you in a medical home? Because that's going to make the biggest difference.
Dana?
Yes, I just need clarification on 494 on the patients in a medical home. My invoice is meeting medical home system survey standards demonstrates that practices have physician-led teams. My understanding is that in 2010, that NCQA expanded its program roles to allow for nurse practitioner-led teams as well for the patients in a medical home. So it doesn't seem to be congruent to me. That may need to be something that Helen or other answers.
Yeah, I unfortunately can't clarify that, and I'm familiar enough with what they're doing that I think you're correct. But I can't make it any more clear for you. I apologize. Amy?
Yes, similar to some of the discussion we just had about I think the PQI measures, looking at 724, this looks like it's a population health measure, kind of national, regional, state as a level of analysis. So I'm wondering how that would kind of fit into, you know, to be consistent, how that would fit into the programs that we're looking at recommending these for.
Another good point. So the care setting is other. This one. And it's national, regional, state.
Rick, I might.
Tommy, go ahead.
Here. Yeah, no, I'm. Amy, or at least maybe for discussion here, but I think the concept, well, you're right, at this time, you know, maybe there isn't a particular public program that we would be, say, using this for pre-rulemaking. I think going back to what Tom had said earlier and how we've been thinking about the family of measures, really trying to think across, you know, multiple levels of analysis, more in the abstract, right, and thinking about how this can be yet another way to sort of sync up with private sector activities or things that are looking at, I guess, regionally, statewide or something, to try and, again, create a family that would be useful across both sectors. And I'll throw that out there and see if Tom or anybody else has other comments on that.
The only thing that I would add to the developer identifying care setting as other, it's probably captured in that AAP policy statement in the second half of the description, where they don't want to label that as just being for example, the ambulatory setting. You can see that they're policy is not to pigeonhole the medical home to a specific setting.
Sean?
Yeah, just a follow-up very quickly on Richard's comment. I agree with you, Richard, completely about the need to include people with serious illness in the medical home, but I actually worry about the opposite, that given the medical homes are going to specifically exclude them because of their costs and driving costs, and I think that we need to identify that as a gap. And then secondly, that if we look at the measures specifically around this area, none of them really focus on the needs of that population. And don't, you know, tracking tests and procedures is probably not the right measure for that group. So if we want to include them, I also think we need to identify the gap that these measures don't specifically address their needs.
Okay. So, David?
Just quickly, just want to address the issue raised on 724. So, again, we have a measure that was specified for some vague population, but, again, we could apply it to anything that is an accountable entity for managing populations. let's get that to happen.
So at this point, I'm considering the measure for inclusion, and we're with an update from Helen or Heidi on the specific questions that have been asked. I think everyone seems to be in support of all these measures. We've got a couple measure questions, details to highlight. And if it were not to be included, it would be to go forward with modifications. I mean, we like the general concept of the measure, but we wish it was tweaked a little bit. That's what I'm hearing. Amy?
I don't think that I'm in support of 491, which appears to kind of be documentation that you're using a certified qualified health record to track the lab tests. I don't feel like it quite gets all the way to where we're trying to go, which is that you do something with it, that there's timely action, that there's timely notification. It's kind of heading there, but it's not quite all the way there. So I don't know that I would support that one. I don't think it goes far enough.
So speaking against 491, I mean, you're in favor of this with modifications. The concept's right, but
actually,
the measure doesn't get you there.
Yeah, it gets all the way there.
Okay. We're checking with Helen right now. Any other comments relating to 491? I actually see it's in two care settings, it's in the ambulatory surgery unit and in the clinician's office. Dana?
I guess I just want to say I support Amy's comment on 491. It just doesn't get us to where I think we need to be with this group and what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Andrea?
The same.
Okay. So that's David?
If you don't like 491, you shouldn't like 489 either. Same reason.
And
that's all we've got.
Well, that was important. The point that our reactor panel had, that we have to start somewhere on these structure measures, that they didn't like any of them, but it was a good start. So if you think it starts too low and we need to back away from some of them, that's okay too. Helen, are you catching up or are you caught up?
Actually, as I sat down, I got an email from NC2A, who's listening. Thank you, Bob. looking up this guy there. So it sounds like there's some confusion between the PCMH CAP survey and the PCMH Medical System Survey. So the Medical System Survey was just recently updated and endorsed as part of Jerry's, for the care coordination project that Jerry led. I think the question about whether it reflected shared decision-making is actually reflected in the medical home CAPs as opposed to the system survey, which is not to patients, it's practice assessment.
There was also a question on, this is on 494, there was also a question on the statement about standards demonstrate practice have physician-led teams, and there were some questions about nurse practitioners.
I was hoping Sherry was sitting over current up to answer it. Bob, if you're online, feel free to weigh in. My understanding of it is that it is a practice-based module. I don't know that it's specific to be physician-led, but we'll look that up.
Arnika, are you with us? Operator?
Yes, if you would like to ask a question, make a comment, press star 1.
Bob, is your line open? We may have lost him. All right, Jerry.
I just wanted to comment on the discussion about 489 and 491
in terms of those not getting to the place that they need to be. In terms of the decision-making of the Care Coordination Committee, just to be consistent, if this affects your decision-making, these would not have moved forward, I don't believe, in the care coordination because they only look at one side of the process. Although I do appreciate, you know, the desire to at least get things started, but the question would be is, are they consistent with the rest of the endorsed care coordination measures?
So you speak against them. Lance?
Just want to check my understanding of 494, this PCMH survey. Is this survey actually taken by physicians?
Look at the practice level, yes, and I'm waiting for an answer back from Bob about the doctor.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to highlight. This is a structural measure that's kind of a self-reported status. And I'm wondering, once we get into the conversation tomorrow on patient surveys, what I'm noticing is that some of the CAP surveys have supplemental survey items that the patients are taking. And one of them is an HIT supplemental survey items. So things they're asking the patient, things like, are they getting timely and thorough answers to medical questions via email, helpfulness of a provider's website, and giving information about care with a lab or other tests. And there are other supplemental items that might cover the same domain, like medical home items. So I'm wondering, in being parsimonious here, we might want to use this patient-centered survey as a way to measure this instead of a self-reported physician survey.
Are you talking about that for 494 and 489?
Looking specifically at 494, 489 might fall into that same issue. You know, you might get a better or a more accurate response from patients than a self-reported response from practices themselves.
And Helen, correct me if I'm wrong, 494 is a series of standards with scoring within the standards?
Yes, at the practice level.
Yeah.
And all the other ones, the supplemental items, both for HIT and medical homes or for patients specifically.
So it's about 10 domains that they have to score on. Okay. So I'm at this point, I'm hearing, I'm hearing the rain. I'm hearing lightning and thunder out there. We had started with all four of these, but it sounds like 491 has been pulled back as being a little bit on the low bar side and one-sided, and somewhat the same for 489. 494 is leaning toward inclusion, and 724 is in this other category. Helen, maybe you can answer that.
Okay. So those are a series of measures put forward that actually are an existing survey at this point that are only available at those higher levels of aggregation at the state and sometimes regional levels. They are interested in testing some of them further below, but at this point it's only population level.
Okay. So to me, 724 was more to David's point about could this be further modified for inclusion at the local level, at the ACO level. So what I'm hearing is 494 is included, unless you wish to pull that off. 489 is I need direction from you. 724 is recommend the direction, but some modifications, and 491 is not included. Barbara?
Yeah, I disagree. I think the two that have to do with the inclusion of results in the electronic health record are, in fact, not surveys, but data. I mean, is the doctor's office, is the clinic, is the practice receiving the information electronically? That's the first one. And the last one is, are they looking at it between visits? Is it being placed in the EHR. So those are pretty simple measures. They may be too low bar, but they're not. Yes or no. You can. It's either done or it's not done. It's not opinion. It's not asking. It's not a survey. It's a fact.
Carrie, is yours up? Your card's up. Okay. So I don't hear consensus on this. Right now, I think what we would recommend is we did not reach consensus on the documentation of labs for inclusion. We more or less got documentation on the medical home, and we've got a recommendation for the current direction on with modifications on 724. So one last effort to change those recommendations. All right. Well, we'll have another chance to react to it, but that's what we'll go forward with. So where are we now? We are in a rainstorm, and we have one more topic area to bring up. If you want to push on, I'm more than happy to do so. It's been a long day, so I'm testing your mettle right now and asking you where you want to go. But we'll be on schedule for tomorrow if we take one more. I'm walking four blocks, so I'm not going out there. But all right. So then, let's move on. Do you want a bio break for 5 minutes, and we'll come back and finish the last topic? Let's do it. All right. If we could grab our seats again, while we're doing that, Lindsay's trying to look at the local radar. So we're trying to look at the weather while we're working and figure out if we can get a series of taxis to shuffle everybody, or we just order pizza and keep going. So where we are on our agenda is the patient surveys addressing care coordination. And again, we have a reactor group to these measures. When you look at your discussion guide, it begins on page 13 and walks us through to page 16, I believe. The reactors I have are Lance and John, Sean and Rich. Lance, if you'd begin.
Okay, I took a look at these, and right off the bat, I'll just make the statement that in general, I thought that most of the RCAP surveys were the ones that we should be looking at. Some of the other ones might be duplicative, and some of them I really couldn't find too much information on. I'll just go ahead and highlight some general features, though, that I saw in some of the CAPS items, starting with NQF0005. This is a CAP survey on the clinician and group settings. In general, the advantages of these surveys are that they're standardized. Just about every version of the survey produces the same set of measures that are comparable across providers, regardless of when or where the survey was fielded. Each of the surveys produced three composites: getting timely appointments, care information, how well providers communicate with patients, and helpful, courteous, and respectful office staff. There are pediatric-focused surveys that have two additional composites: providers' attention to your child's growth and development, and providers' advice on keeping your child safe and healthy. There are supplemental survey items that can be added to these surveys, and I mentioned a couple of these previously, but the three that I saw are health literacy, how well providers communicate about meds, and then the patient federal medical home items, and then the HIT items. Other advantages, of course, it's well-documented, well-supported, it's well-tested.
There's a publicized method for the computation of all the composite scores that are used in regards to these surveys. There are tools available so that providers can replicate their scores. There's adjusting for case mix in these surveys. They're able to adjust the survey results by age, education, and general health status. There are national comparison measures available. For many of these, and I'll try to touch on these as I go through these, there were the MAP dual eligibles work group also pointed out that these particular surveys should be included in their measure portfolio. The weaknesses that I saw in general is that, you know, these surveys can be resource and burden intensive. So this is where, you know, some type of an e-survey might come in handy. And I can't recall if some of these already have e-survey formats available for these. They might. I'm going to move down to... NQF-0166. This is the hospital CAP survey. And, of course, this one has been in use for a couple of years now. And the CAP survey itself is included in the hospital value-based purchasing program for fiscal year 2013. So we should keep that in mind. CMS is already using it. And many of the hospitals across the country have been using this under CMS rules. Now, a key improvement to this HCAP survey is the addition of the CTM3 measures. So the CTM3 measures are really focused on, you know, readmission-related items, care transitions. CTM3 is going to be included in the HCAP surveys, I think, starting very soon, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it looks like CMS will be reporting in October 2012, so this fall. CTM3, remember, is one of the two measures that's included in the current 2012 National Quality Strategy. So it's already been chosen by folks at that level. The background of CTM3, it's consistent and compatible with the current HCAPS items and sampling and survey administration protocols. CMS is proposing to add two additional questions to HCAPS to assist in patient mix risk adjustment. They're proposing to add ER source of admission and self-rating of overall mental and emotional health. So that will probably... just in how these things are adjusted, the results are adjusted for these surveys. Let's see here. The other items that fall into this family are NQF-0517, so that's a CAPS home health care survey, and also NQF-0691. Which is the CAPS nursing home survey. So in general, those families of measures or surveys are the ones that I propose that we keep as a family of measures within this group. Some of the other ones may be duplicative. And I'll stop my comments there and we'll open it up.
So, Lance, you may be reading off of something other than the discussion guide, which we don't have the numbers you're talking about.
I'm going off of the Excel spreadsheet, so do you need row numbers?
So, no, if I could, let me just ask you, include, not include on a few of these, and we can probably identify, because I think I got everything you said.
Yeah.
Clinician group CAPS include.
Yep.
In-center hemodialysis CAPS include.
Yes.
The ECHO, Experience of Care Health Outcomes.
I show that's an ARC survey also, so I would include that. Not knowing too much about that, but I believe it's, you know, as well managed and maintained as the other surveys.
Inpatient Consumer Survey, which is a hospital care setting.
That's NQF-0166.
Yes. That's the HCAPS?
It's not an HCAPS.
It's not. Okay. And what was the focus again?
Private and confidential care, communication, and experience of care.
Yeah, I don't see that one.
Okay.
On my list, so.
Young Adult Health Care Survey. Again, not listed as a CAPS survey.
No, I did not include that one because the CAPS will be duplicative.
Okay. Family Evaluation of Hospice Care. Not listed as a CAPS survey. It's an FEHC.
No, I wouldn't include that.
HCAPS, yes.
Yep.
Home health CAPS, yes.
Right.
The health plan CAPS, yes, with the supplemental. The nursing home CAPS,
yes.
There are several of them. There's the long stay resident, the family member, and the discharge resident survey.
The one that I would propose that we consider would be 0691, NQF-0691.
The nursing home CAPS for discharge resident survey?
Yes, that's the one I was looking at.
Okay. And not the other two for parsimony?
No, I didn't see the distinction. There's a distinction between these. There's one that's long stay.
Long stay. There's one that's family member survey, and the other one is discharge resident survey.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that. It looks like they're...
Well, that's okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
What are different populations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the there's two left. There's the consumer assessments and reports of end of life, otherwise known as the CARE survey.
I did not look at that one in depth.
Okay. And the last one is pediatric inpatient experience survey.
Is that the CARE survey?
Yeah, it's called the PIES survey.
PIES. I'm not seeing that one either.
Okay.
I did not review that one.
Thanks so much. So if we could go to John.
Yeah, apologies. I wasn't at the June meeting, so I really didn't understand the format for which our kind of how to focus our comments. So I'll ratchet it down to just three comments that seem to fit, and maybe that's a good thing because it's 5 after 10. Or, well, 10 after 5. 5 after. It feels like 10 after 10.
Good point.
So I like the few measures that for the aspect of them that they actually said they could measure at the clinician level. The analysis I've seen in the past that measure at the group level that actually also show individual physician level, that performance at the group level doesn't seem to be at all predictive of individual physicians. So from a consumer perspective, I don't really see the point of informing their ability to select the physician unless it reports at the physician level. And the three that were noted as reporting at the physician level were the 0005, 0007, and 0310. One particular comment with that 0310, I don't know how strict we are about this, but if you read the numerator and denominator, it's something other than a survey measure. It's really a chart abstracted measure if the physician talked to the person. So I don't know if I'm missing something there, or if that, you know, is enough to have it removed from the table. I just thought I would note that observation. Another aspect of a few measures that I liked were measures that actually where the person is being solicited for their reflection on an outcome, and that's 0166 was actually specifically mentioned pain control. 0208 specifically mentioned how well symptoms were being controlled, and 0725 mentioned, again, pain management. It just feels like we're at this point, like conversations we had years ago. A number of the aspects that the person's being asked about are all good things, but it seems like the preponderance of areas that the person's being asked about are how well processes were adhered to. And I would think it would be wonderful if we would see more trusting and eliciting the person's response to some of these outcomes, like I had noted, or even inefficiency and overuse and misuse of treatments and diagnostics, et cetera. That would be wonderful if we'd see more of that. So that's really the, I think, the sum total of my comments that fit for the types of comments people are giving. Thanks.
Thank you. Sean?
Not much to add, Frank. I agree with Lance's choice of the CAPS measures with two additions to that. One is the family evaluation of hospice care, and then the companion measure, which is the care measure, for really three reasons. The first is that it's of the measures we've proposed, those are the only two that have focused on treatment aligned with goals for the care of the seriously ill, which we at our last meeting talked about was a key priority. And both of those surveys measure those issues. The second is that they address the population that gets missed in all the CAPS surveys. And the population that is the most vulnerable and data study after study shows has the highest risk and needs in the hospital. And that's a population that CAPS routinely misses and ones that I would include. The third piece is that they're aligned together. The family evaluation of hospice care was designed for the hospice population, and the care measure is almost the identical survey, but from the non-hospice population, and both have been well tested and validated. So I would add those to the CAPS because I think they fill an important gap.
Thank you. Rich?
Yeah, a couple quick comments. These being kind of the best that we have, it's important to kind of work with the best that you have. Having said that, through the lens of plans that exclusively serve high-risk, high-need populations, there's three or four issues that I think need noting in the report. One is in relation to self-report, self-reported information. If a plan exclusively serves people who have severe and persistent mental illness problems, who have a high percentage of cognitive impairment, who have other complicating factors relating to their ability to self-report, there is an ability to have surrogates report. There are complications with the surrogate reports which aren't always as accurate as most researchers would say as the person who in fact is being cared for. And therefore, if a plan exclusively serves those kind of populations and is compared to those that don't, there's a question of, whether there's an accurate comparison here. Secondly, is in relation to kind of need for risk adjustment. Lance, I didn't hear you. You indicated the CMS was going to make two adjustments as it relates to risk, one relating to mental and emotional health, and then a second one relating to something else.
I think the other one was if the source of admission was through the emergency department. So, yeah, those two items.
Okay, but that's all hospital-related as opposed to plan-related?
Yes.
Okay.
When I looked at it, I don't think I saw any indication that we're going to use those two variables across all of their portfolio of CAPS surveys, but it may be the case that they are, but I think for the hospital survey.
So a notation is that there are, in addition to issues of self-report, it is important to look at issues of risk adjustment for certain population and for certain plans that exclusively target certain populations. We don't want to penalize people for taking on, high-risk populations. Thirdly is CAPS, in fact, discounts reports from duals. And if you have duals in a plan that's relatively similar to a normal population, it's not a problem. If you exclusively serve duals, then your total measurement is in fact, discounted. And even though it's compared to others without that kind of population. It's still not clear to me, you know, as to why they do that. It's interesting that they do it for duals in relation to reporting quality, but don't necessarily do it for other kind of plans where there's other issues at play. And then finally, just a missing piece here from earlier discussions as well as other surveys. Consumers talk about the importance of conflicting advice from different places. And if we're actually going to kind of capture that, this is a place where, you know, consumer surveys, we should learn about that, and would suggest that as an area for some development.
All right. Thank you very much. So it sounds like a lot of broad support for most, if not all, of these. And perhaps if I could just offer one suggestion, that we take the CAP surveys as an aggregate list of surveys and ask, are there CAP surveys that you want to pull off that list as a consent calendar to be included? So opening up with all CAPs are in, are there any CAPs you'd want to think differently about? David?
Yeah, I'll actually address that. You know, I'm a big fan of CAPs, but since our topic is care coordination, and since most of these CAP survey instruments were developed for silos, they don't really deal with care coordination, not in the broadest sense that I'm thinking of, with the possible exception of medical home CAPs, which I don't see on this list. So I would want to put that one up front and ask why we need for care coordination to be looking at the others. Even CTM3, which was a great addition to HCAPS, I think it gets at the patient's understanding of what they need to do when they leave the hospital, which is critically important. But it sure doesn't deal with the handoffs that happen afterwards and what happens after that, which I thought is what care coordination means.
So I need to understand what you're saying. You're not enthusiastic about these lists of CAPS measures because they're not care coordinators. The purpose of care coordination, you would add to this list the medical homes CAPS. Okay. Andrea?
I just have one overarching thing. Sorry to deter from the direction here. Can we delineate which of these specifically we're talking about potentially applying for pediatrics, so that whether we make the list and then are clear about what we're applying where and then revisit it, or whether we address that up front? You know, some of these things are obviously more appropriate for pediatrics than others. And I'm not 100% clear from looking at this information which of these we would intend to go in that direction. My second question is, and this is a little bit around my not being super familiar with some of these, but this CG CAPS looks very similar with that echo. So if we're talking about which of the CAPS to pull out, are CG CAPS and echo not similar?
Echo is, my understanding around it, is primarily behavioral health only. CG CAPS is broad, all clinicians.
Oh, because it just labels it as clinical office, sorry. So,
and I show the echo as behavioral health and managed care versions, yeah, to be specific.
Okay. And so I guess then my question would just stand as to which of these have been validated for pediatrics.
So,
and I would say that the clinician group surveys, which is NQF-0005, that whole group of surveys includes adult primary care, pediatric care, and specialist care surveys. And then again, to go back to what I said before, there are supplemental survey items that you can attach to these: health literacy, patient-centered medical home, HIT, and the two child-focused surveys. So there's two composites that are pediatric-focused.
Andrea, can I clarify your remarks?
Sure. I also may have been looking at the wrong spreadsheet.
No, the big Excel spreadsheet's got more information on it than the discussion guide does. So sorry about that. When you were making your comments about where we sit with the population less than 18 years of age, was that about all the measures, or was it just focused on the CAPS measure sets?
I would, I think, apply that to all of them. I mean, some of them are have it inherently in the title more easily
they
than
do.
Others.
They do. But I want to pull those out because I want us to look at those explicitly. And just focusing on the CAPS, if those apply to pediatrics, is that okay?
I would want to be clear that they have been validated for pediatrics. I think which the ones that are clearly validated for pediatrics, I think that's fine. I just want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're being clear about what that is.
Okay. All right. Rhonda, to this issue about the, was it ECHO? Is that what you wanted to?
Trying to search my memory banks on the ECHO, and I don't have a note to specifically comment on, but I will say we need to look at the ECHO with caution because I remember when it was going up for NQF review, there was a plethora of letters that came in from managed care organizations around ECHO in terms of it not being a very useful survey. It was subsequently dropped by NCQA as the survey that's used for accreditation. So I just want to caution us, if we're thinking about that, to look back into the history to find out. And I can research that. I just need to call some people who probably have better memory than I do at this point. But it was not considered a good survey for behavioral health.
Frank, this is Dale Scheller. I wasn't able to join in person, but I was able to dial in for this last segment of the meeting.
Great, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to make a few comments with respect to the ECHO. It was a well-validated CAP survey. It's true that it wasn't picked up by the industry and was, in fact, dropped by NCQA for accreditation. It has not been extensively used, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a validated instrument. I actually don't know about its NQF endorsement status, and maybe someone there could speak to that.
It's still endorsed. I think it is up for endorsement maintenance in the coming year, so we'll have a chance to relook at it.
Randy?
Question. Is the family evaluation of hospice included in the consumer assessment of reports of end-of-life care? So we need both of them.
Sean, I think that's a question for you. I don't know the answer to that.
I expect if we include
endorsed care?
I expect
we just did FEHC. Okay.
Did both. All right, just so we don't get confused, let's stay on CAPS. Because we'll come back to those. And just putting CAPS out there as, just to keep us on one topic. Richard?
Yeah, I just want to support David's comment. I think we can use the CAPS with the transitions of care. That makes sense. But I don't see why we want to put forth each and every one of these CAPS in each of the silos. I don't understand how that gets us to a better understanding of transitions of care.
So it may fit in another family, but it doesn't fit in this
family.
No,
I think it highlights the problem that transitions of care is limited to silos, and having 15 surveys of every individual contact point doesn't really help us. So I would not advocate adopting, the A-plus CAPS here, but the CAPS of the transitions of care, that seems like a reasonable thing to understand.
Just so I'm clear, that transitions of care is in the hospital CAPS. But it's not in the CG CAPS.
I understand.
That's correct? Okay, so we would be in support of the age CAPS with the transition of care survey component and as a care coordination subtopic within the safety family. Helen?
One thing to add is, we have not gotten the medical home CAPS supplement to us yet for endorsement, but I believe that's a supplement to CG caps, wouldn't it be, logically? So that would be another reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dale. The PCMH CAP survey is actually a version of CG CAP. I don't know about endorsement by NQF, but again, I mean, NCQA has adopted it for PCMH patient experience distinction in reporting recognition, and it has been it's kind of formally issued as part of the CAPS family of surveys.
That's right, Dale. Thank you. I was wrong, Mrs. Helen. It is going to be a separate CG CAPS. We have not gotten it yet.
To David's point, the CG CAPS PCMH version does have a set of questions. It's not a composite, but there are three specific questions that address coordination of care within the PCMH version of CG CAPS. And I noticed, too, that particular survey version did not make the list, at least the list that I had to review. I think it's very relevant to the issue of care coordination.
Dale, is that the PCMH version of the CG CAPS, is that in the CAPS compendium?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not NQF endorsed yet, but it is considered in the compendium.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we would be proposing the CG CAPS with the PCMH component be included, and recognize that it doesn't yet have NQF endorsement, and we'd be recommending the age caps with the transitions of care component be included. Okay?
Okay.
I've got Helen.
I would just want to be very sure that these surveys were included elsewhere if they were not included in our transitions of care, because these are important silos that people go into and out of throughout the system, and I think it's critical that we have patient feedback on all of them. And I think you could certainly argue that it's transitions of care, which is why I assume they're in this category.
Can I speak to that, too? I was sort of trying to figure out how to think about all of these different CAPS instruments in the context of safety and coordination. CAPS are designed to address specific domains of the patient experience within a particular setting. So things that relate to communication and to access to care and to, you know, interaction with the office staff or shared decision-making, these are all important qualities of the patient experience. We've talked about this before in previous work group meetings. This is really important stuff. Categorically, do these instruments taken as a total sort of address coordination? I'm not sure. I mean, pieces of them do. But the problem is you can't just take one or two questions out of a CAP survey. These are kind of seamless tools, and you sort of have to decide to accept the tool or not. You can't extract pieces of them. They're it's an overall instrument.
So I would remind everybody that if you go back to our very initial conversation to begin the day, we had all the families listed, and there are other families that are going to see the CAPS surveys for other cause, and they would be listed in those families where they would be very appropriate and fit with the activities. And we're explicitly looking at the subtopic of care coordination in here in the safety family. So to some degree, we're probably stretching if we were to say all these CAPS. You could always say that safety is involved in everything. But
right.
That gets a little too broad when we're trying to address parsimony. And it may fit in another family.
Be great if we could send a message back to the CAPS developers that they ought to address care coordination.
Well, we get that message. It's just that it's a really hard concept to address, and the CAP surveys are designed to not just address one particular topic, but multiple topics that patients experience when they interact with their care providers or the care system.
I would also say that Tom is reminding me that there are other topics we'll see tomorrow where these could make the list because they fit in another topic area. So it's not to exclude them, but just answering this one question. Okay. Tom?
Confessing that this is not a CAPS measure, but on the Excel spreadsheet, the low back pain shared decision-making 0310 is an example of what David was looking for, of one where it's shared decision-making is the transition of care.
Okay. Thank you. Christy, you're good? You're good? Are you're just looking at a break in the rain. Yep. Okay. So I'm sorry, Lance.
I was just going to shed some light on some of the questions we had regarding, you know, pulling certain items out that would be care coordinator related. I'm looking at the ARC documents, and for some of these items within these surveys, they do put them together into one composite. And I'll give you an example within the patient-centered medical home item set. They have three patient experience measures that are composites. So there are three items that get put together, and they assess providers pay attention to your mental or emotional health. So that's one composite, three items. Another one is two items put together in a composite. Providers support you in taking care of your own health. The other one is three items put together. Providers discuss medication decisions. So when I first started looking at these surveys, I also wrangled with the idea of, are there pieces of these surveys that really point to care coordination? And I think the answer is yes. And then going farther than that, can we actually go in and grab those pieces and say these are really care coordinated related? And I think looking at these, the answer is probably yes to that too. I personally haven't had the experience of seeing a measure in front of me that's a composite score that would represent care coordination, but it looks like these surveys are set up in such a way that it could be done.
Can I just add to your list? You've identified the three additional composites that are added to the core CGCAP survey that now create the PCMH survey. There is another set of questions, which is called coordination of care, attention to care from other providers, has three questions under that topic. But they didn't hold together well enough psychometrically to create a composite. So I'm agreeing with your line of thinking and would support the idea that, you know, there are components of these surveys that do address care coordination. But you can't pull out a set of questions from a survey. You have to take the survey as a whole.
No, my understanding was you were pulling out the composites from the survey.
Yeah, it looks like they're set up in such a way that that could be done. You could pull them out. But I guess to your point on the phone, is it really a valid, reliable, psychometrically sound composite measure? Is that right?
Well, most of the things that you said are. But there's the one piece, which is on care coordination, has three items which did not make it to a composite. My other point was that when you do a survey, you basically take the survey as a whole. And so if you're thinking about deciding that there are elements of the PCMH survey that fit the care coordination objective, then you would take the entire survey and decide to include it, not pieces of the survey.
So
I think that's okay, though. You know, you would want them to take the whole survey. It's just a matter of pulling out pieces that are relevant to the what you want to address. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, looking at these surveys, I think that you can certainly include them in the family of measures. But then going forward, I think, you know, a gap would be to actually land on which pieces are valid, reliable, and well-tested enough that you could pull out and address care coordination.
I'm a little confused here because I thought that was exactly what had been done.
That is what has been done.
Okay. So you would take the CGCAP survey in its totality, and there is with the right supplement, there is a composite of PCMH on top of the survey.
Right.
Okay. So that's what we're endorsing. We would be applying the CG caps with the PCMH component, the age caps with the care transitions emphasis. And so then if I could, through the rest of these this caps list, I'm including those two, and I'm not including these others unless there's a need to include them. The hemodialysis, in-center hemodialysis caps.
I think that one's important. It's
And is it important for care coordination? It's not.
Well,
all the caps
are
important, but is it important for care coordination?
I know what you're saying, but I feel as though that some people in that setting are going to many other settings. I feel as though it's important. Bead on the chain.
This is an example of why it's difficult to think about the survey as a whole instrument and then try to decide, do we accept that survey instrument because there's one question that directly addresses coordination of care or there's one composite that, you know, addresses coordination of care. For example, on ICH, there is a question that the doctors seem informed and up to date about the health care they receive from other doctors. That is one of the best CAPS questions that address coordination. But it's one out of a series of questions in the ICH survey.
So, Christy?
Sorry to be vacillating on whether or not to make this comment, but it seems to me that one of the gaps we're going to identify is that there aren't good cross-cutting measures across settings to begin with. And so I don't know why we would look at patient experience of care differently. In other words, if there are components of these surveys that do address care coordination, albeit it may only be one question in the hemodialysis, why would we not want to at least capture from those patients' perspectives the care coordination issues that they experienced in that setting? Because, you know, short of having a care coordination survey, which looks at Christy Travis and all the care I get across everything, you know, all my different settings, we wouldn't have any way to get any patient experience of care associated with that. So I guess my leaning is to think through that if there are care coordination questions that are embedded in these surveys, then, you know, to me I could see value in having these surveys be in the family. The patient has to take the whole survey, but we can look at the responses around that. We can't?
No. We get the CAPS broad response. We don't get the care coordination response.
So we don't get this is helpful. So we don't get answers to the individual questions.
Sure, you do.
So we could take. So what I'm saying is,
you don't
is,
get comparative scoring across delivery systems on one question.
Well,
but are we not interested in coordination of care within a setting? What about the hospital survey? We've been talking about coordination of care within the hospital in other areas. Why not the patient's perspective on that?
What we're talking about is a psychometrically tested, validated instrument of a group of questions. We don't get to pull out one question and say that now is the valid answer that we can compare across hospitals.
I thought on Hospital Compare that we got down to some of the questions, some of the on the HCAPs, there are individual questions that are listed there.
They're not publicly reported, but they certainly exist, and hospitals compare their performance question by question, not taught by the hospital.
What are the ones that are reported on Hospital Compare, Dale?
Doctor communication, nurse communication, pain management, communication about medication, the environment questions, which are quietness and cleanliness, the discharge question, and now you have the three additional CGM questions added. And I might have missed one.
What to do if your symptoms worsen? I think that's the one you missed. But there are eight total composites that are publicly reported. You can see them right now on Hospital Compare, and there are national comparison measures that go along with those.
As composites.
But they're composites. That's the piece that I think is helping me. They're composites. Yeah. They're not individual.
There's several composites, for example, that Dale was talking about, and I'm familiar with this from the surgical caps,
right,
which isn't even on this list, that failed. They didn't pass the test as composites. So they, as psychometrically tested, they lacked reliability and validity. So they did not, even though those questions are in there, the composite breakouts did not
go forward. That helps me understand. So could a working way to look at it be that if there are composites that are embedded in any of these surveys, that we would want the survey results with the composite results?
Well, that's what we're talking about. So
there's only two where that exists.
Well, I'm going through the list hoping that we get that information.
I got you.
I'm afraid we'll miss it. So the CG CAPS has got one with PCMH. The hospital CAPS has got one with transitions of care. And Ellen has raised the issue in ICH, and you know, we could use input from Dale on this. Is there an opportunity to get us care coordination data from the ICH CAP survey?
I would have to think about that and get back to you, but as far as I know, you know, but there's that one question that is definitely content-wise related to coordination of care. I don't think it's part of a composite. So if you're only looking for composites, then I think you're limited in what you can use for care coordination. If you decide that it's valuable, as Christy was saying a moment ago, that within one of these surveys, at least an item or two address care coordination, is that good enough then to include the entire survey?
And that's a question for the group.
Yeah.
Can Dale tell us what that one question is in the ICH?
Yeah. Doctor seems informed and up to date about the health care they received from other doctors.
This is asked within the in-house hemodialysis unit, right? So it's those doctors
trying
to current. It's not the other way.
The patient's assessment of those
doctors knowing
them.
What's going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just a handle. It's just paraphrasing the question.
Are we not interested in safety on any of the patient surveys?
This subtopic is care coordination.
But
in safety.
In safety. So, we haven't dealt with them anywhere else in safety.
But you could argue that, as Frank alluded to, a lot of the topic areas or domains of the CAP surveys could be interpreted to have a lot to do with patient safety. I mean, all of the communication items, for example.
Jane, were you going to comment? I'm sorry.
Question. If that question that's on the ICS survey, is that relevant, could we make it a gap and see about having it incorporated into the other CAP?
Gap being that we would wonder if we could make a composite.
Right.
is there the opportunity for a composite in ICH?
Exactly.
I mean, I guess the question is, do you go with ICH as is because there's a very critical question in it? Do you look at ICH and wonder if there is an opportunity to get a composite? Because it sounds like everyone's happy with this direction. The question is it far enough? Or do we not, do we just simply say, no, this is not part of our care coordination set? And, you know, what I'm hearing in everyone's mind without you speaking is, boy, that's a really good question.
Frank, that's a really good question.
Mitch?
And I just want to say we have no other place where we have direct input from patients. This is it, in this care coordination family.
But I just want to make sure I understand. We're not, it feels to me the direction we're moving in is inventing our own survey here. And I'm uncomfortable with the, it's not exactly robust, this approach. And sort of picking a couple of well-validated studies and choosing a couple of questions out of them, I hear as a meaningless exercise. It may look good, and it will be the kind of thing that hospitals will say, oh, look how well we did on this one question in this validated survey. And I don't think it's going to give us meaningful information. I fear that this is beyond the scope of what we're doing. So I don't think I understand what's on the table here, especially because it's 5:45, so that might be part of it.
So, Dale, if we report, if we were to recommend ICH as it stands, it would not be reported by every single answer to every question. There would be a standard CAPS report on ICH. Is that correct?
I'm not quite sure how to answer your question. I made the point earlier that's consistent with the point that was just made, that you can't really take one or two questions out of the CAPS instrument and say, this is what we want to use. You really have to decide that you're going to take the instrument and say, this is what has to be implemented, even though what you're deciding fits your category of interest is one or two questions.
So we would be in favor of all of ICH, and embedded within there would be an implied care coordination effort.
And I think in the same sense, you would be saying we're going to take and recommend their DGCAPS PCMH survey, recognizing that there is a set of care coordination questions in there that are relevant to this topic. But I also understand why this kind of seems a little bit out of scale for trying to find specific measures that work for this care coordination topic, when in fact, you know, CAPS is designed to try to address multiple topics within the context of a survey.
Right. CAPS is bigger than care coordination.
Right. And you're trying to find a way to fit into your care coordination charge what works out of these different CAPS surveys. And it's a mapping question, but that's not how the thing is actually implemented.
Okay. Amy?
I feel like I'm slow at the end of the day here. A couple of thoughts. One, when ARC went through, I want to say a couple years ago, and did the care coordination atlas where they kind of looked at what measures were out there for care coordination, they did include the CAPS survey as mapping to several of the care coordination areas. I mean, they at least came to the conclusion that, you know, it did kind of address some areas of care coordination, and I don't know that it's, you know, this part of CAPS goes to this measure as opposed to the whole survey fitting. But I guess I am concerned. I don't want to see us get to the point where we have a survey that addresses this piece, and a survey that addresses this piece, and a survey that addresses this piece, and a patient's getting, you know, 47 surveys. there's got to be some way that we can use, like, a component, a subcomponent of, like, a whole survey. And I don't know that CAPS is perfect. I don't know that it's gotten us all the way there. But I feel like there's got to be a way to kind of use this or make a recommendation to allow us to use it. And I don't know if that's the composite, but I don't know.
So when you say that ARC recommended the CAP survey, there are multiple CAP surveys. They recommended all of them, or they were explicit?
I'm looking at their index table index of measures, and specifically they have CAPS, adult primary care, adult specialty care, and child primary care. I don't see the other CAPS in their list.
That sounds like G CAP.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the surveys.
Yeah.
David?
It seems to me maybe we're overcomplicating this. So if we could agree that the medical home version of CTCAPS has on it, I think I heard Dale said, two questions or maybe three.
Three.
That definitely speak to care coordination. They don't make a good composite, but they are three questions. Why can't we say, for the purposes of this exercise, to measure care coordination, we think this is a good survey, the survey instrument as a whole, to be administered, and we should know, or whoever's interested should know, what the results are for these three questions.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then the other comment I want to make on the hemodialysis is, as I thought about it more, this is the ultimate silo. It's only for in-center hemodialysis. What about all those folks that are getting home hemodialysis, which is actually the preferred venue?
Or hospital hemodialysis.
Yeah.
All right. So, David, the same. I'm assuming the same holds true for the HCAPS transition of care component, the same comment. So, I guess what I'm hearing is if we would support a CAPS survey, a whole survey, when we feel like that survey incorporates something of value explicitly for care coordination.
And that's specifically reported. It fits that bucket.
Right. And that we know is CNG CAPS. It exists for ICH CAPS. And it exists for HCAPS. Then I'm not going to speak to the others. I'd have to ask about each one of them. Home health CAPS, the health plan survey CAPS, and then there's the nursing home CAPS. They do. They only have one. I don't know. That's the question. Dale, the question is, are there care coordination questions in all these other CAPs, the nursing home and home health?
I can speak to the health plan survey and say, yes, there is a care coordination question on the health plan CAPs as a supplemental item.
All right. So it sounds like we might have some homework to do tonight on this CAPS issue.
Well, Frank, if I might interject here, I've got some answers for some of these questions. I'm looking at the home healthcare survey, and there are five composites composed of several items, and here they are for the home health. How often did the home health team give care in a professional way? How well did the home health providers communicate with patients? Did the home health providers discuss medications, pain, and home safety with patients? How do patients rate the overall care? And would patients recommend? So those last two, I think, are pretty much general ones. I kind of see the same thing in the hospital. So I would say, yes, there are some composite measures within the home health care survey that would address care coordination type items. Now, I also did find some information off the ARC website. This is their in-center hemodialysis survey and reporting kit. There are three composites in this survey. First one, nephrologist communication and caring, then quality of dialysis center care and operations, and providing information to patients. that are composites in that survey. I haven't looked up the nursing home one yet, but I would bet that there are composites in that survey also.
There are.
So within your materials, we actually provided an Excel file that had the patient survey items mapping. It actually lists out the questions and the domains that they associated with within the survey. And as well as the different topic areas that we have within our agenda items. So if you want to take a look at that this evening, we were very broad in what we included. So we have communication measures broadly that are basically to do with physician-patient communication generally. We have this literally by question detail available to you if you want to dig into that.
Communication with the provider that's in that silo is not care coordination.
Not concerned about care coordination within some of these entities?
If it's measured. I mean, yeah, I suppose. I mean, if the entity is an entity in an organizational sense, it's probably reasonably coordinated, I guess not always. So, yeah, I'd be concerned if it's not. But the much broader issue is the coordination across.
Is transitions.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly confused about CAPS right now. You know, I understood these to be surveys that were pulled together, and now we're pulling out questions. So if there are other topic areas for the map to consider beyond the work of this work group, are we going to pull out all the questions so that we just report each one of them and it's a bunch of individual surveys? I don't get this. Dale, if you could.
Frank, I'm saying you can't do that. You have to decide that you're going to recommend the use of a survey that has been designed to address multiple topics that may include the topic that you're interested in. You can't just pull out a question or two that you think are relevant and then say, well, we're just going to ask those questions.
No, I'm not talking about asking those questions, Dale. I'm talking about asking all the questions and reporting on the survey like you normally would and report on the isolated question. And that to me is not what CAPS does. I thought we reported on the composite of all the questions within the domains that CAPS intends to get to, but if we pull out three questions that have not been otherwise composited, or they were attempt to composite and failed, and yet we're saying you can now report that. That to me is not a CAPS survey we're reporting on.
We're starting to say the same thing over and over again a little bit, just to point that out. I mean, I think we have to agree that that's not a valid way to use any of these surveys. It's just not.
I mean, Dale, the motion that was put out there was that we would approve the C&G CAPS and the hospital CAPS and report the CAPS survey results and report the isolated question.
And I would say to you that in terms of public reporting, it has been the CAPS recommendation to report the composite scores. That's mostly because of the volume of information here and the fact that when you're taking the content of one of these surveys, it's much easier and meaningful to the public to report a composite on communication or access to care or, you know, one of these other domains rather than, you know, 37 individual questions. It doesn't mean that you couldn't decide to report an item or two that you thought was really important to report.
But do we know that that's valued by the CAPS validity testing.
The question itself has been validated, and if it's collected in a comparable way, then the question items can be compared.
Okay.
But not for the purpose of comparison, because what's been validated for comparison is the CAPS score. So while the individual questions have been validated for the purposes of reporting their meaning or comparing across institutions, which is what our charge is, it really would be, I think, invalid, right? You couldn't use this as a metric to say how well an institution does in care coordination, because that's not what that survey set up to do. So you would report three questions that reflected care coordination, but the implication of that, as far as the quality of care coordination at your institution, would not be validated. It would look good if those three questions were answered well, but you really couldn't use it for comparing the quality of care coordination across institutions. It would be, I think, misleading.
Or?
Well, I would like to associate myself with those who are confused. I mean, I feel as though I just fell down a well of molasses. But I don't understand why, if the individual questions have been validated, why it would be invalid to take those valid questions and say, this is what people who took this survey said about this institution. You may also want to report, say, for further information and the total score, please see, we recommend you look at the total score for each health plan or whatever you're doing, or each nursing home or whatever. But maybe you methodological geniuses can tell me why, if it's valid, it isn't for A, it's not valid for B. I mean, and people, I know people do look at the individual questions.
Yes, they do, and I just want to weigh in again, and I say, yes, individual question items that are collected in a comparable way can be compared. Health plans, medical groups, hospitals do it all the time.
Yes. So I still don't understand what's the problem. I mean, you read a book all the time, and you take a particular chapter that's of interest to you, and you quote it. You don't say it's totally invalid because you didn't read the whole book. You might say it. We recommend you read the whole book because there are other arguments in there you might be interested in, but that doesn't mean that you can't use them. Who says we can't do it? Do they own it and say, if you use it, you know, we're going to sue you or whatever?
Let me give you an example from HCAPS. There was a composite that was called Hospital Environment, and it was composed of the cleanliness and the noise question. CMS decided after some initial rounds of public reporting that they wanted to actually report those two items separately. So those are actually individual questions that are reported on CMS Hospital Compare. You can decide to take one of the questions that are part of the communication composite and compare that from one organization to another.
Single questions. Is that what CMS does? They compare answers to single questions? No, yeah, no. Richard?
Yeah, I think it's a critical point whether we can, if this is valid, to compare these single issues. I also feel that we compromise on everything we do. I mean, none of the things we've discussed today is perfectly valid. Right? No one has validated any of these, I mean, to me, satisfactorily, potential avoidable complications. We take it on face value that they represent some sort of perhaps the best surrogate for what we're after. And I think it's the same way here. So if we have some items that could possibly be surrogates for what we're really after, we should probably use them and recognize that there's a big gap here because we continue to measure these silos. And I think that's probably the best we're going to be able to do.
Tom? Realizing that I worked with Dale in putting together skinny caps on our sites, our plan's website, but still we were criticized through ARC because we were not using a full validated set.
I think our recommendation should be to get the CAPS people to come up with ones which are validated and reflect care coordination and stop it at that point.
So you're saying there's a gap that the CAPS surveys do not address adequately the patient experience of care coordination?
That's right. It's an uncoordinated set of
Well, can you, I can tell you the CAP consortium would agree with you. It's a very hard concept to get patients to report on. And that's why in the CAP's family of surveys, it's an area that has been underdeveloped. It's not because of a lack of interest or will. It's just very hard to do. It's one of the reasons why the PCMH survey is kind of a breakthrough on this, because at least there are three specific questions that fall into a coordination of care area that are now part of that survey.
So to break the logjam for the evening, I would like us to accept the CG CAPS and the hospital CAPS with their component questions and the ICH CAPS with their component questions that we've identified key for care coordination. And we're going to have to do some homework on the other CAPS before we decide on their fate. We're going to try and do that very briefly. We're going to see if there's a care coordination question in those other CAPS. And it'll be quick. Is that okay? Is that an acceptable approach that we're taking three? I have you right where I want you now. So I've got 300 more decisions tonight. So now I'd like to finish the rest of these measures that are on here. Honey? Oh, Amy?
I just want to be clear, which CAPS survey are we looking at?
CG CAPS, ICH, okay. And hospital CAPS. Those three we've identified that have areas of interest in care coordination. Clearly, the others remain in the dark, and we're going to try and bring light on them.
So we're supposed to look at the others for tomorrow. I just want to make sure I look at the right survey.
Well, I don't know. Do they have what they need to look at them?
So, as I mentioned, we provided the other Excel file. It's titled Patient Survey Item Mapping _ Map Safety and Care Coordination Task Force. And it's got included within it, actually, the care coordination subtopic area. We were very broad, so please look at the questions to make sure you agree that this is really to do with care coordination. But the topic areas of communication, transitions, it's got the different surveys. It's got the domain under which, or the composite, as we've been talking about, and then it's got the actual questions. So you have readily available to you what you need, I think, to do this homework. And it's not just the CAPS, it's all of the surveys that were on the list.
So do we need to do this?
If you want.
Do we need to do this with the remainder of these surveys as our homework assignment? Yeah, I mean, otherwise we're going to be, we can continue tonight, but I think we're at a point where we've done enough damage for one day. Yeah, Aparna?
If we agree in principle that, you know, no matter which CAP survey you look at, if they have care coordination questions, we're going to recommend them, then can we save ourselves some time tomorrow and have the staff look at it and include that as part of our recommendation, not have to go through every single one tomorrow?
Yeah. So we've looked, the staff looked at them and formed the spreadsheets to do that. The questions are, do you believe that's a care coordination
right.
question? That's our question to us. The staff's already compiled the questions for us to look at, but we are the ones who have to look at the questions and say, include this survey, it's got a care coordination question.
Oh, so you want us to validate that the questions staff identified are indeed care coordination?
We want our opinion that we think as a group this is a care coordination question.
Okay, so I guess
we're not validating it.
I'm not deciding for you, Parma.
Okay.
Andrea?
Frank, second. Just a quick question, I think, sort of to Amy's point. So does that mean that the CAHPS health plan survey is on the table tomorrow? Or?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I thought I heard that it did have some care coordination elements.
Yeah, as long as we just need to go through the exercise and make sure. Dale could be so kind.
What was the question?
Dale, the question was specific to you shouldn't do anything else tonight but running through the CAHPS list and do each of these surveys have what could be considered a reasonable care coordination question?
I can do that.
Thanks.
I mean, so we basically have already said CGCAHPS, ICH, and HCAHPS are in because they have at least one question that works for care coordination. And we want to apply that same test to health plan, nursing home, and what else?
There was health plan, home health. There were three nursing homes. There was the long stay, the family member, and the discharge.
Okay. What time are you starting in the morning?
Dolores is starting at 10. We're starting at 8:30.
All right.
Any more? Any left in the tank? Well, this has been a great day. As long as it's been, you guys have been wonderful. To me, it's a very normal New Orleans day. It's hot and humid all day long. Then we get a rainstorm for 2 hours, and then it's gone. So now it's time for everybody to leave work. We're done. We'll see you. We start at 8:30. Does that mean there's coffee at 8? Okay. Thanks again.